This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, it's Tim Echols in studio in Athens, Georgia, with a couple of folks. Say hey to our regular co-host, Casey Boyce. Casey?
Good morning, Tim.
Good to see you. And Mike Bradford with the Salvation Army here. Mike, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you, Commissioner.
Hey, we've got Meredith Angwin on the phone from Vermont. You may have heard her before. In fact, Logan, we used some Partridge Family bumper music, I Think I Love You, the last time she was here. We'll probably do that at the end of this segment just for old time's sake. Meredith, it's great to have you back on Energy Matters.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Meredith, I see you all the time out there on LinkedIn, and you're kind of debating with people out there. You're, of course, promoting your wonderful book. Tell us a little bit about Shorting the Grid and why you wrote this book.
Well, I wrote the book because the grid has become so complicated that I wasn't able to explain it to people. What I mean is that when I was campaigning for nuclear energy, it was fairly straightforward to say a good thing about nuclear or debunk some kind of myth about how nuclear was going to kill everybody, nuclear energy. But when I began to try and explain the grid, it was just so complicated. That's because we're in a regional transmission organization system around here. And so when I began talking about, well, you see, the thing is that the energy auctions run every 5 minutes, but the forward capacity auctions run 3 years in advance, and different types of plants get different amounts of money from the different auctions, and people are just like, they're nodding off. I mean, why would they want to listen to all this stuff? So I decided that the only way I could explain it was to write a book about how it works. And I've been so happy with the response. So many people have told me they got a lot out of reading Shorting the Grid.
Yeah, she's the author of Shorting the Grid. Casey, last time we had her on, it was during the pandemic, and things, I think, have changed a little bit about nuclear energy's future.
Yeah, well, certainly between then and now, Vogtle Unit 3 has gone into service. So that's a big win for you, Tim, and for Georgia Power. You know, the other thing is interesting. I was looking at some data from our study today of utility customers nationally. And one of the questions that we ask is preferred generation sources. And it's still the case that most customers across the country would prefer their utility generate power from solar and wind, number one, number two. But nuclear has actually seen a significant increase in the percentage of customers that say that they want their utility to generate power from that source.
You know, Casey, I would love to eat lemon meringue pie for every meal as well. Right. So if you ask me
that
what my favorite
delicious
food is, I might be answering lemon meringue pie. But we cannot run our grid just on renewable energy. Can we, Meredith?
No, we can't. I looked up a lot of academic studies, and I also looked at grids. And basically, every time you're running a grid on renewables, which go on and off when they want to, what I mean is you don't dispatch the sun. You don't dispatch the wind saying, "Hey, wind, blow. We're getting a lot of demand on the grid. Start up, wind." I mean, humans don't do that. And so, in all those cases, you have to have a fossil backup. And I think that people are beginning to understand that nuclear can do a lot for firming up the grid when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing. And please don't tell me, oh, you know, batteries are going to do it. The biggest battery in the world is, I think, about 400 megawatts, and you know, an ordinary grid, a smallish grid like we have here in New England, has 16,000 megawatts most of the time, and it's going to get higher when we have electrifying things. So what I'm trying to say is 400 megawatts is not going to do it compared to 16,000.
Yeah, Mike Bradford from the Salvation Army. Mike, you and I talk faith all the time. There's only one person I know that's ever been able to say to the wind, stop blowing. And he was in a little boat in Israel.
Or begin.
Yeah, right? That's right. Mike Bradford, you work for the Salvation Army now, but in a previous life, you worked for a U.S. senator. Was nuclear energy controversial back then?
Well, you know, Commissioner, that was so long ago that I struggled to remember exactly where nuclear stood. But I think it's always had a component of controversy associated with it. And it sort of ebbed and flowed depending on what else is going on in the world at the time, I think, and whether there have been any particular incidents that bring it to the public's attention.
Are you hopeful, Meredith, that the newest technology, these Gen 4 reactors, are going to be a new day for nuclear energy?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I really do hope so. And I do understand the idea that we can't have an accident every 15 years. But, you know, about a couple of years ago, a train carrying oil was parked, and its brakes failed. They didn't park it right, and it went downhill into a town in not far from me, because Vermont is not far from Quebec, and just, you know, blasted into this town and caused a fire that killed 40 people and so forth. And nobody ever says, oh, We can't ship oil by rail anymore. I mean, it kills 40 people. And, you know, Fukushima killed zero people. But we were like, oh, we can't have an accident like Fukushima ever again. I mean, I consider that an accident that doesn't kill anybody is a pretty nice kind of accident.
So, Meredith, I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier, which is this idea that we need to have dispatchable power in order to keep the grid running. And just for background for our listeners, you know, electricity is a little bit different than just about anything else, and that generation has to match consumption at any given time or bad things happen, right?
Right.
And so one of the things that we've been looking at, and batteries are certainly part of the solution, and the largest battery in the world is a 250 megawatt Tesla battery in Australia, but they're also doing things like virtual power plants. So Tesla just introduced a virtual power plant in Texas, which aggregates about 2.3 gigawatts of homeowners' batteries across the state. And of course, there's ability to flex demand around, you know, HVAC or EV charging and other large loads to help match supply and demand. So I'm really curious your perspective, having written this book. You know, we talk about these technologies a lot on Energy Matters and how people can participate in the grid. What's your perspective of how those play into the grid's future?
Well, they may well play into the grid's future, but I have to admit that keeping up with the choices we have right now is enough work for me. I feel there are three grids out there. There's a physical grid consisting of generators and users and wires and dispatch centers, and then there's a policy grid, which is basically about how the physical grid gets paid and which kinds of generation have subsidies and so forth. And I spend a lot of time trying to explain these two grids, especially the policy grid and how it interacts with the physical grid and stuff, and nobody wants to ask me questions about it. They always want to ask me about what I call the third grid, the could grid. We could have more batteries. We could have, you know, this. We could have that. And then they'll say, well, have you reviewed this particular new technology? When I was at Electric Power Research Institute, my job was reviewing new technologies and watching over research programs that supported new and existing technologies. I can't watch the grid and also learn about all this could grid. Now, why do people ask me about the could grid? Because that's what they know about. That's what's in the Sunday supplement. The Sunday supplement is about the grand new world of the could grid, when we're going to have, you know, battery backup, and we're going to have virtual power plants that span great areas, and we're going to have transmission over from the Southwest to New England, and we're going to have all these things could happen. Most of them haven't happened because they're not very cost effective, but they could happen, and I'm a little bit tired of being asked about them while nobody has any clue of dispatch rules and so forth. I want to say before I go further on this rant, I really appreciate that you said electricity is different from anything else. It is. You have to have demand and supply balanced at all times, and that is a huge demand on the operators and on the dispatchers, and it's really important for people to know that that is part of the physical grid, very important part.
Well, Meredith, where can folks find out about shorting the grid?
Oh, well, you can buy it on Amazon. You can go into your local bookstore, which probably won't have it, but it will be, or they can order it because it's also distributed by Ingram Spark. You can download an ebook from iBook, you know, Apple Book, and of course from Amazon Kindle and from Nook.
Meredith, thanks so much for being on our show today, and we'll go out with some David Cassidy music because you've earned it. Stick around, Energy Matters. We'll be right back. Hey, Tim Eccles here for Gem Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, Gem Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, Tim Eccles back on Energy Matters. Casey, Meredith Angwin is a very unique individual, especially to live in Vermont.
I know that she is near and dear to you, Tim, because she says a lot of things that kind of resonate with you know, where you're at.
Yes.
You know, I think one of the things that I just want to kind of come back to is this idea of the could grid, which is a brilliant framing, by the way.
I love it.
I know you were over there. For our listeners who can't see Tim, he was over there nodding vigorously as Meredith was talking about that. I think the distinction is really a couple of things. One is that, you know, these technologies are things that are working in the market, right? Tesla is doing this virtual power plant thing in Texas. They're doing it in California. There are virtual power plants in Meredith's part of the world, in New England.
Green Mountain Power.
Green Green Mountain Power is doing. They want to put a battery in every single one of their customers' basements or garages. And what that does for them is, one, it helps avoid outages because those powers those customers have an on-site source of backup power. And two, it allows Green Mountain Power to integrate more renewables. So, I think part of the challenge that we're dealing with right now is that there's a lot of new technologies on the grid in terms of generation, like solar and like wind. And Meredith is absolutely right. You know, you cannot force the sun to shine in the middle of the night. And so we're having to rethink the relationship between that supply and demand equation. And I do think that there is an argument to be made for nuclear in terms of providing baseload power and, being able to be there when the sun's not shining or the wind's not blowing. But I think it comes back to affordability, which is maybe a transition into the next part here. But I'm curious your thoughts, Tim, as a regulator.
Let's think about where she's from. She's from Vermont. They had the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant there.
Right.
They closed it. Perfectly efficient plant in the 90s. I'm talking 90th percentile, not the 1990s. So it was a very efficient plant. They then had to go elsewhere and get power, including some biomass in Burlington. From a CO2 perspective, I think they were making a critical mistake by canceling Vermont Yankee.
So I agree with you completely. The idea of shutting down existing nuclear before the end of its service life from a climate perspective is a bad idea. The reason that Vermont Yankee and other nuclear power plants across the country have shut down prematurely is economics. They're just too darn expensive to run compared to other generation sources.
In that kind of a market.
Well, in those markets, right. When you've got nuclear that's not competing against natural gas primarily, but also wind and solar, that's the economic outcome that you get, right? And so, I think it's a little bit different here in the Southeast and particularly in Georgia, where we don't have wholesale power markets. And you're looking at kind of portfolio and how all those characteristics work together.
Yeah. So Mike Bradford, Mike, in the Salvation Army, you're dealing with many people in Project Share who just are desperate for any kind of electron. They want any kind of electron coming to their house and get their power back on because they're sitting in the dark or they're struggling to pay their bills or their food is melting. So an electron is an electron is an electron. I mean, do you often have clients who say to you, I want more green power, I want more nuclear power, I want more this or that, or are they just wanting power in general?
The function of the Salvation Army, period, our mission is to assist people in crisis. Dealing with your energy needs or the lack thereof is a crisis situation, and that's our first priority. So we don't often have the time, or the client doesn't have the inclination to share their positions on these matters, if they have any. You're right. When your daily life is interrupted because you cannot sustain your household without power, without natural gas, if you have that, and water otherwise, then that has to be your first priority as the head of your household.
Casey, since the very first show, and we've been doing this show, this is episode 249, we have promoted the Salvation Army Project Share on every single episode. And I talk about this all the time, and just how much good the Salvation Army does and why people should be checking that box on their power bill, giving one or two or five or $10, and allowing that utility foundation to do that 150% match. I mean, so important.
Absolutely. And, Mike, what we're seeing in our national data is an increasing number of customers saying that they can't afford to pay their utility bill. And it's true not just of low-income customers. Even higher-income customers are saying that they're struggling. And it's a number of factors, right? I mean, we've gone through a really inflationary period. Student loan repayments have just started, so that's impacting, a lot of younger people, but some older people as well. What are you seeing in terms of the need for utility assistance?
Casey, that's exactly what we're seeing. During COVID, we didn't know what to expect, as a lot of agencies did not. There was increasing need there in some cases, with I think 10 million people losing their jobs overnight almost. But there was a corresponding amount of a massive influx of assistance money, COVID money, as some people refer to it. Well, now those funds have dwindled away for the most part. and other people are dealing with the fact that things do cost more in general. And so if they are employed, even gainfully employed, it's not going as far as it used to. So we are seeing as well clients that we've never seen before have never needed the assistance.
Tim, I mean, I think this goes right back to what you said, right? Which is like checking that box is a direct way that you as an individual can help people who are in need. So, I mean, it's a great direct way of just reaching out and helping your fellow man.
And can I just say, Commissioner, that we certainly appreciate the public knowledge that you're sharing about Project Share and the Salvation Army every time you have this program, and also the very unique opportunity that Georgia Power provides in matching $1.50 through their foundation. It doesn't come out of the rate for every dollar their customers donate to Project Share.
Casey, that is just this untapped source of money that more and more people could access by just checking the box. And you know, that money helps with electric bills, and then we've got gas bills that people have that the Public Service Commission uses part of the Universal Service Fund to contribute to the Salvation Army to help people in the winter. Frankly, Casey, this even more dangerous probably, you know, with folks sitting there with a gas furnace that's not working and they're sitting there shivering in their house.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I think this match is a really important thing. You know, Tim, as you know, I've sat on the board of several nonprofits, and a lot of times one of the things that gets people to donate is the idea of a match, right? You put up a dollar and someone else puts in 50 cents, or in this case, $1.50, right? I mean, that's a big
it's amazing.
You know, source of leverage, right, Mike?
It certainly is. In fact, I once had a donor who would call every December to ask if Project Share is still available. And is Georgia Power still matching? And that was really key to what he was interested in. And he was a very successful businessman. And I would always say yes, yes to all of these questions, and that we're still here, we're still serving, and Georgia Power is still matching. And he would say, that's the best deal I can get in a contribution to anything, anywhere.
Wow.
And it's true.
Mike, how did Project Share get started way back in the day?
Well, it goes back, speaking of energy, the first major energy crises in America got the attention of the Army because they realized that there was nothing in particular specifically targeted for energy assistance in the nonprofit world. And so they began a small program in Dalton, Georgia, at the Salvation Army with a partner there, Dalton Utilities, and with a newspaper that served on the board. And it was such a big success that eventually the folks back at state headquarters in Norcross wanted to try to duplicate that on a statewide level. And so they approached Georgia Power initially, and Georgia Power liked the idea, and we were able to show that we could serve 159 counties, which is a big obligation. But we met that challenge. And so ever since 1985, they have been our number one partner. But we also have a number of gas marketers, most of the EMCs around the state, and several municipal utilities who also are donor partners.
How can folks find out about Project Share if they want to give, if they want to find out more information?
Well, they can go to projectshareinfo.com, or they can go to salvationarmygeorgia.org. And find the information about the program. They can also go to Georgia Power's website and find Project Share listed there, including the information for how to enroll in giving, if that's what they're interested in.
Yeah, Casey, just another minute in this segment. I didn't know that Dalton Utilities was involved in the Dalton Citizen, I guess, newspaper up there. I mean, sometimes great ideas start in little places and others pick them up.
Yeah, and it's great to see how that scales, right? Yeah, that's the laboratory of democracy, right? And it's great to have the Salvation Army involved, because you guys are one of the few nonprofits that I can think of that could do something on the scale that you're doing.
Well, it's true. We have over 40 offices across the state, and with 159 counties, you might think that's not as many as we need. But the way populations are grouped in particular counties, those 40 offices serve over 80% of Georgia's population. Hmm. And so the challenge is to serve all the other counties in addition that only hold 20% of the population. We do that with some partners that are in the nonprofit business as well.
Well, when we come back, more conversation with Mike Bradford of the Salvation Army, Casey Boyce, my co-host. We'll talk about how a person can access these funds. If they're a low-income person or they're sitting in the dark or they need assistance. So we want to kind of go through that so that you can tell others. And again, we want to encourage you to join us in supporting by checking that box on your utility bill. Hey, this is Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at MarlinGas.com/EnergyMatters. That's MarlinGas.com/EnergyMatters.
Hey, Tim Eccles back with Mike Bradford and Casey Boyce. Casey, we have had hundreds upon hundreds of guests through these many years, and you know, we've talked about all this technology, EV, solar, but at the end of the day, people need electricity. It is so important, and the lack of it. We're seeing this in Israel, Gaza Strip, you know, over there with a, you know, with the war and the impact that that makes. But when people don't have electricity, they're in crisis.
Yeah, not only does it cut off, you know, heating and cooling, it also cuts off refrigeration, and so, you know, you're spending more on food. A lot of people can't cook if they don't have electricity or natural gas, not to mention telecommunication, right? Internet has really become an additional utility that many people rely on at home, and not having electricity can cut that off for many people. So it's really isolating and, you know, compounding if folks don't have access to energy.
Mike, the Salvation Army, and I say this all the time to people, y'all know how to work with people in crisis. You know how to work with people that, you know, maybe they've been out there panhandling, maybe they've been homeless, maybe they've just continued to have problems financially. But whatever the situation, you all work with these folks in a compassionate manner. And you know how to provide accountability. You know how to get the documentation you need. You're just experts at this.
Well, thank you very much. Of course, the Army's had a lot of experience starting in 1865, ministering to people through their needs, like these daily life-threatening, in some cases, situations. And I did want to say, in addition to what Casey said, that and don't forget cell phones. I mean, that is a lifeline for so many of our clients. Everything they do in their outside, you know, existence, like almost all of us, they depend on their cell phones, and especially if they don't have a laptop or an iPad or something like that to rely on. So, and also I've mentioned this before, but There have been studies going back decades now that show that the lack of utility service is a devastating blow to a household that's already in crisis. If they can't pay their power bill, that means that they are, you know, in critical situations overall in most cases. And the power going off, or the gas going off, the water going off, that sort of pulls the thread, the loose thread, and unravels the stability, what there is at the time in the household. And parents start missing work, children start missing school, and it's just overall a very devastating and unsafe and unsustainable situation to live in.
You know, Casey, I talk to a lot of these people. They Google help, and they wind up, you know, on my phone in my office or on my cell phone. And I do my best to try to discern what's best in the situation. And maybe I get the utility to work with them a little bit longer. Maybe I order an energy audit. Maybe there's something fishy from a technical side. But in the end, if they have made arrangements with the power company and they have broken those arrangements, they are now really at the end. If the Salvation Army or another charity, their church or whoever, doesn't come in and rescue them, then they may be out of power for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and for a lot of customers, too, getting power started again is a big lift, right? Because there's often, you know, not only do you have to pay the arrearage, the money that you owe, but sometimes there's additional deposits that are required, things like that. I mean, Mike, what's your counsel for folks that come to you in that kind of situation that Tim's describing?
Well, first I would counsel, and this is easy for me to say, but as soon as possible, if you foresee that you're going to be in that situation, it's best to contact us early rather than waiting until you're disconnected or until you are at the final day or so before disconnection is faced. Of course, we have plenty of experience dealing with those very tight schedules, but that's the first thing I would say. And I would also say, don't be afraid to deal with your utility company. Let them know what's going on in your life. Share the situation that you're having, and they will be willing more often than not to work with you as long as they possibly can.
Casey, before I leave the Public Service Commission, whenever that is, I would love to I would love to stockpile money at the Salvation Army into the hundreds of millions of dollars so that we could be the most generous and hospitable state in America assisting low-income customers.
That'd be great. And, you know, I'm curious to hear from both of you because, you know, we've been talking a lot about the financial side of things, and both of you deal with people who are facing crises around being able to pay or not pay their utility bills. There's oftentimes a real shame associated with that. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, for both of you, there's not any judgment on your end, right? People need help and you're trying to help. But, you know, if someone's in that situation where maybe they're facing disconnection for the first time, right, and your advice is talk to Salvation Army early, get help early. If you're feeling that sense of shame, like, how do you deal with that? How do you help people feel comfortable with, you know what, this happens and we can get through it?
Well, I mean, I think we're well known for our compassion for people, and we hope that everyone who represents the Salvation Army to the public represents that in their demeanor, their language, their whole approach to the situation. And there is no shame here. We have, years ago, we had a video made about the program, and one of our caseworkers was providing testimony of providing assistance, and she said that most of us are only a few paychecks away, missing a few paychecks from being in this situation. So almost anyone can find themselves in this situation. So there's nothing to be ashamed of, and we're here to address that crisis.
Casey, I remember it was the saddest day of my life, 1991, Halloween Day, when we miscarried our third child. And Rebecca, in California, we were away from our families. I was out there for some training working with a national youth organization. And I did not have the money, Mike, to bury that child. The church that we were at, New Life Presbyterian at the time in San Diego, took up a collection and paid for that cemetery plot. And paid for that burial, allowing our family to have closure on that event. And I've never been at a time in my life where I have been in a crisis like that or had so little money to do this. But when you're ministered to like that, you never forget it.
Well, that is a devastating situation. Commissioner, I wasn't aware of that. But we see situations similar to that all the time. And that brings me to a point I meant to make earlier, that Project Share is only one program that the Salvation Army offers. We have wraparound services that include all kinds of things, from substance abuse treatment to budgeting classes to special programs directed at housing, and specifically rapid rehousing and other things like that. And there's almost nothing that the Army can't address, if not directly, with directing the person to another resource that could directly address that.
Casey, if I'm ever a governor, if I'm ever mayor, if I'm in a position, I'm not there now, and I'm not aspiring to be there necessarily, but I'm going to bring the Salvation Army alongside to help me solve the homeless situation, the prison situation, and all of these other situations where there are enormous human need, and I just don't feel like government has a heart. I just don't feel like government is capable of showing the kind of compassion that a nonprofit religious organization like the Salvation Army can show.
Well, and Tim, your very poignant example earlier was really speaking to that. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that was for you and Wendy, and the fact that people in your community stood up to take care of you in a time of need. And I think that's what we're talking about here with Salvation Army and Project Share and all of the other resources, is that it's people helping people, and it's engaging, and it's not some sort of faceless thing. So there's real power to that. Just acknowledging someone, knowing, you know, hey, you exist. Hey, you're having trouble. I see you, and I'm willing to help you, is extraordinarily powerful.
That's a great way to put it, Casey. And very often we find that their clients just need someone to tell their story to. And they find when they call some resources or a utility company that they don't really feel that they're being listened to. So the Salvation Army provides that. We hope project the fact that we understand where they're coming from. We understand the situation that they're in. A lot of our employees have been in that situation before. And so they've lived that. And they know how it feels and the challenge that it presents to a family trying to take care of children and elderly members of the household, and just to keep the household stuck together.
Yeah. Well, you, our listening audience, whether you're in Georgia or you're listening to us on our podcast all over the world, let me encourage you to reach out to your local Salvation Army to be a part. Mike, how can folks find out more about Project Share?
Go to projectshareinfo.com, or you can go to SalvationArmyGeorgiaDivision.org and find out information. You can also go to Georgia Power's website and find Project Share there. And there's a link in all of those, not only to how to give, but also how to contact the agency in your county where Project Share is available.
Stick around. We're going to ask Mike to be on our hippie segment. Casey, my favorite segment four. So hang around. We'll play some 70s music and see what energy policy it relates to. This is Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced, emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill. Simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at SolarSunWorld.com. SolarSunWorld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles, back one more segment with Casey Boyce and Mike Bradford of the Salvation Army. I mean, Mike, when you drove to Athens today, you had no idea you were going to be on the hippie segment.
No, I did not have any idea. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so
I vaguely remember hippies.
Okay, you remember them. Well, we're going to try to bring them back today. Casey Boyce, you know, he only knows about them through documentaries, right, Casey?
Yeah, I think black and white newsreels. I know this is your favorite segment, Tim, but I also... I'm starting to get this idea that you're enjoying ambushing our guests with the hippie segment.
You know, it's just, you know, I love 70s music, and so we just have a fun time with it. All right, let's try out our first song, and you at home, listen along and see if you can figure out what energy policy this song relates to. Baby Come Back by Player. Casey, I hear this and I just think about all of this baseload power revival that we're having in our country as we get more EVs, crypto mining facilities, data centers, and it seems like everybody all of a sudden is panicking that we don't have enough power, and you know, states are turning away business, and Georgia's looking at where we're going to get more. What does this song remind you of?
Well, number one, the fact that this song reminds you of baseload power shows how much of an energy nerd you are. So, I mean, I think that's got to serve for some sort of bona fides for you. But, you know, I think of the tax credits. And so there's a number of tax credits that are now back and available for folks. Renewable energy tax credits, if you're putting solar on your home, battery in your garage, even investing in a heat pump, you can get money off of your taxes, and that's a good thing. It makes it easier for people to make these changes. But we're also seeing the return of the EV tax credit. It's kind of confusing. Check with your dealership or the IRS website to get a little bit more information on it. But the simplest I can make it is if you lease an electric vehicle, which is not a bad thing to do anyway. We've talked about that on the show. Most manufacturers will bake in the EV tax credit in the lease, so you're paying less on that. So return of tax credits is what I think of, because you know, that's my bona fides is tax policy for some reason.
Mike, were you a hippie or did you know any hippies?
I'm not quite as old as you think I am, Commissioner, but I have heard this song before. Uh-huh. So I have to admit that.
Uh-huh.
It's a great song. But I do struggle a little bit to connect it to what I do. But uh-huh. I did think of one thing, and okay. That is that in the fall, that's when the idea of gas assistance and the gas service comes to mind for a lot of our clients.
Mm.
But the first cool spell, they're coming back to their interest in the status of their gas service. in the early days when I first came to Project Share, we had a lot of elderly clients especially who would request their gas service be disconnected in the spring so there wouldn't be even one bit of charge associated with that service when they don't use it because it was only for heating for them. And then they would request a reconnection in the fall.
I think that's a pretty good idea, Casey, if you don't have a gas hot water heater or a gas stove. A good strategy. All right, let's go to our second song here, and you play along at home and see what you think. I love me some earth, wind, and fire.
That is some solid music right there.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly September, but Mike, when it gets cold and folks are, you know, kind of thinking about end of the year giving, I mean, what does this song remind you of?
Well, in spite of the fact that Project Share is a 12-month program and we actually provide some housing assistance as well, Commissioner, in addition to utilities. That is the time of year that almost everyone who's interested in assisting other people through a nonprofit think of giving, and that is during the precursor to the holiday season, which begins in the fall and goes through January and February. That's what they think of as far as the time, and also for anyone who's interested in the tax deductions for charitable contributions, which Share is a 501c3 itself as well as the Salvation Army. That brings it to mind for them.
Well, Tim, I got to tell a brief story before I make the connection to energy here. So many of our listeners may know my wife is a middle school teacher, and every year she introduces this song to her classes as the Earth, Wind, and Fire drill. And so whenever she needs to raise the energy level in the classroom, she'll put on September, and they have an Earth, Wind, and Fire drill in the classroom. So, you know, September is a great time for a lot of things energy related. If you've got solar on your rooftop, you're probably producing more than you're using, which is great. Makes the economics work. Those shoulder seasons are always fun to have solar. But it's also a really good time to prep for the fall. Right. So Mike talked a little bit about that. But, you know, for you and your house, doing an energy audit to understand, you know, what you can do to insulate and make your house draft free, more comfortable, use less energy over the winter, get your HVAC tuned up. You know, you're talking to HVAC companies and they always see the first cold snap or the first hot day of the year, people calling saying, hey, my furnace isn't working or my AC is not working. Get ahead of that. Right. Don't end up in a queue to be fixed when it's cold out.
And can I say specifically change those filters.
Absolutely.
In your furnaces. That's a tremendous drag on the efficiency.
We bought a 210 home warranty on our house, and they, you know, if you pay an extra $100, you get a HVAC tune-up. I always pay that because I want them coming out. I want them topping up that Freon. I don't want that unit running 1 second longer than it has to because it's costing me money. Hey, one more song here on the hippie segment, and you play along and see if you know what energy policy this song relates to. Here it is. like, or were you an Elton John fan?
I have to admit that I've seen him in concert twice.
Oh, yes.
And I'll admit to a little bit of age in that he had real hair.
Uh-huh.
And was a little slimmer in those days, yeah. like all of us.
He wasn't bursting those Versace jeans that he wears.
No, that's your description, but...
what does this song remind you of?
It's hard to go wrong with Elton John, but... Well, one thing is, it reminds me of the customers who are going through critical need, and their hearts are breaking for what they can't do for their children, what they can't do to keep their household operating safely and effectively. And it's just a reminder of what we do and why we do it.
Wow. Casey, how about you?
Well, I think I've got to go with the unmet climate pledges out there. I mean, people have said they're going to do a lot to address climate change. It's not happening, and time is running out.
Yeah, there's as they do this UN climate conference, you know, it was Paris, then it was Glasgow. Folks bringing their report cards. Yeah, you can't be closing existing nuclear plants, adding gas plants, and meet your carbon goals. It doesn't work.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening today. Mike, let folks know one more time where they can find out about Project Share and contribute.
ProjectShareInfo.com or SalvationArmyGeorgia.org.
Well, I'm Tim Eccles. I hope you've enjoyed this show, this hippie segment. Would you join me in supporting the Salvation Army? Would you look at your utility bill, those little boxes, and check one of them, $1 a month, two, five, or ten, your gas company, and join us in helping our neighbors. This is Tim Eccles. I hope you have a great weekend. You've been listening to Energy Matters.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.